Greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to verse 18. Our focus will be only on the first three verses, 10, 11, and 12. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Amen. May God bless us in the reading of his most holy and sacred word. How strong are you? If you are asked this question, someone once described the courage in people in this manner. He said that the courage in people is like a tea bag. You never know the strength until they are in hot water. So how strong are we as Christians? For this is perhaps a very good description of what we are. Are you a very strong Christian, so much so that you are able to face anyone, any trials, any circumstance, any difficulty that you may confront in this life? For by and large, we are more or less a very fearful people. Fear had become part and parcel of every sinner's life since the fall. The first sign of fear crept into Adam and Eve's heart. After the fall, they hid from God. Why? Because they were afraid. Afraid to be found out. And ever since then, we are afraid of insects. We are afraid of little creepy crawlies. We are afraid of heights, confined places. We are afraid of people. We are afraid of so many things, so much so that there is a long, long list of phobias that you can find in our English dictionary. It all describes the many fears that we encounter every day of our lives. And this fear has definitely affected our ministry, our service, and definitely our testimony. And in the conclusion of this wonderful epistle written by the Apostle Paul to the Christians in Ephesus, he said, "Finally, my brethren, finally all of you who worship and serve God in the church in Ephesus." These are the words that you need to take very careful note of. But the Apostle Paul had given them a wonderful treatise on what it means to be a Christian in the first three chapters of this book. And then from chapter 4 onwards, he applied the impact of his teaching of God's word, which is founded on God's truth. How they must protect the unity that they have, which is based upon one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. And how they must all serve God with the many gifts that they have been blessed by God with, so that they will grow and become mature and perfect in Christ Jesus and not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that continues to sweep across Christendom, and all the more so in our age and in our time. It was true then. It is even more true in our times. And then he continued to challenge them in every form of relationship that you find in our lives. husbands and wives, parent and children, masters and slaves, and that will include our family life, include our working life, as well as in the earlier chapters, our service and our church life, and how to maintain and ensure that all these aspects of our lives are acceptable to God. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, because daring courage and a deep sense of resolute conviction are what is needed today by God's people, especially in these last days and times and age. For it is so easy to fall and to capitulate. You may be very strong in your service in the church. You may be very strong in your teaching capability. But you can also fall if you are a wretched husband or a miserable wife. Or you could be a wayward father or mother at home. Or you could be very zealous and fervent in your service as YF or teens or young people's president in your church. But if you are a rebellious son or daughter at home, you have failed the Lord. For every aspect of our lives must be characterized by this strength that Paul says we all need very badly. Because cowards can never win battles for the Lord. Cowards will run and hide, for they will be unfit for the Lord's service. They may know a lot of knowledge in the head, but if you are weak and you are not strong in the Lord in any area of your lives, whatever it might be, private or public, they will be found out in time. And then all that you have worked for, worked so hard for, it will collapse around you, and you will end up with nothing. Do you know the song Onward Christian Soldiers? Well, this person, George Verver, wrote this song backwards. He called it Come Live and Die. It's in a book written by him. And he rephrased the words of this song this way. Instead of Onward Christian Soldiers, he calls it Backward Christian Soldiers. Fleeing from the fight, with the cross of Jesus clearly out of sight, Christ our rightful master stands against the foe, but forward into battle we are chicken to go. Like a mighty tortoise moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where we often trod. We are much divided, many bodies we, having different doctrines, not much charity. Crowns and thrones may perish, kingdoms rise and wane, but the church of Jesus hidden does remain. Gates of hell should never against that church prevail. We have Christ's own promise, but think that it will fail. Sit here then, ye people, join our useless throng. Blend with ours your voices in a feeble song. Blessings, ease, and comfort ask from Christ the King. With our modern thinking, we won't do a thing. How many of us are resolutely serving? Since the day you came to know Christ, how many of us are zealously walking fervently for the Lord and every day more fervent than the day before? Husband and wife, your love for one another, has it grown stronger and deeper with every passing moment since the day you got married and since you came to know the Lord? And children, your honoring of your parents must be more and more godly and more honoring with every day that you grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what it means to fight God's battle. It is more than just defending the VPP. That's only one small aspect. That's an important aspect, defending the word. But if the word is not lived out and practiced in our lives, we are hypocrites. We're defending in something that we don't believe in. And that's why many of our lives, many hidden aspects of our lives are in shambles. And so Paul says, you be strong. You be very strong in the face of the temptations of the world. You don't capitulate. You be very strong when you face peer pressures in school, desiring you to compromise, to join the cliques and the gangs in school. And they will make fun of you, they will mock you, they will tease you because of your stance, because of your faith.
You don't capitulate, you be strong. But you do not be strong in your own character. You do not be strong in money. You do not be strong in power. You do not be strong in your own IQ. You do not be strong because you have a lot of education. And some people find strength in the fact that they have strings of degrees. Some people find strength because of the size of their bank account. Some people find strength because of the status and symbol that they have in society. God says all these things will be utterly, completely useless in the Christian's walk of faith. Useless. And what we need, Paul says, you be strong in the Lord. That's what he says, be strong in the Lord. And because it's in the imperative and in the present tense, it tells us that you do not stop being strong in the Lord. You make sure that you continue to be strong in the Lord all the way until you find yourself standing before Christ on the day of judgment. You do not stop being strong. You continue every day, every moment, and you do not stop. Keep at it, because in the Christian walk, you never stop fighting the battle of the Lord. Who do you think is the strongest in our midst in the Lord? I believe the strongest person in our midst in the Lord is none other than Reverend Dr. Timothy Toh. Weak in the body, sure. But examine his life. The difficulty and the struggles that he had to endure since the Lord called him into full-time ministry. We read about his life. We read his book. We have seen his life. We have seen his walk. It's nothing to do with physical strength. Because this strength is inside. This strength is never to capitulate and compromise no matter what they might do to this body that the Lord had given to me. They can take away my family. They can take away my life. They can take away my freedom. They can take everything away from me. But I will be strong in the Lord and I will not flinch. That's what it means to be strong in the Lord. And Apostle Paul rephrased it and said, and in the power of his might, in his mighty power, in his mighty power, in God's strength, the kind of character that God saw that young Joshua needed very much when he took over the leadership of Moses in bringing the people across the River Jordan to conquer the promised land, which at that point in time was occupied by the Canaanites. They were giants. They lived in walled up cities. And what you have was just a group of people who had no military training. And all they had was the Lord with them. That was all they needed. And that was what Joshua needed to understand. And the strength and courage that he was told to have was simply in keeping God's word, obeying God's word. Whatever God asks you to do, you do. That's the kind of strength and courage that God needs in us today. In every aspect of our lives, you cannot afford to sacrifice one aspect in order to make another aspect strong. Every aspect of your life is just as crucial as the other. You cannot sacrifice your relationship with your wife or with your husband in the cause of being the best pastor, the best preacher, the best servant of God in church or wherever you are serving the Lord. You will be a miserable failure if that happens. Don't you agree? How would you like it? Dr. Jeffrey could teach and preach and so on, and then before you know it, one day, news crept out. He committed adultery. What do you say? Never mind, never mind. He's a good preacher, he's a good teacher. Never mind. You mind or never mind? I'm sure you mind. All of us should mind. The preaching, the teaching, the writing, the study, all these will collapse and become thin air when that comes up. True? You ever heard of this pastor called Ted Haggard? Came out of seminary, started with zero. Founded the church. Congregation grew to between 10 to 15,000. And was as early as last year, it was discovered that he had committed a very serious sexual sin. He was removed from office. And now he had to leave the church. Leave the city that he
lived and served in since the beginning of the founding of his church. Then recently, came out in Christianity Today again about him telling the group of pastors who have been assigned to help him out of this sin, to counsel him. He says, "No, thank you, I have enough. Please let me go on my way." Everything came to zero. The church is now about 10,000 strong, and according to the report, quite a large number of people left the church after it was found out that the pastor who preached so much against homosexuality himself was one. Shocking, sad, tragic, yes. All his ministries fell flat on his face. No aspect of the life that God has blessed you with must be compromised. That's what it means to be strong in the Lord. Because if we are not strong in the Lord, where the Lord will give us the encouragement and the courage, we are going to fall. Because the Lord is never wrong. The Lord is consistent. The Lord is constant. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's why Paul says, you be strong in the Lord and you lean on the strength and of His power and His might. Not on your own wisdom. Not on your influence, your connection. Because many of us are nothing when we are stripped of our worldly accolades. Our worldly pursuits and our worldly accomplishments. Is that not true? That will be very telling and revealing. Search our own hearts. Ask yourself, would you still be walking with your head held high? If you are now without any money, without your degrees, without your title in your workplace, will you still be able to look at people in the eye simply because I am a child of God, simply because I am a Christian? That's all that we need. So much so that if they take everything or all these things away from us, you'll still be, I am a Christian. Because that can never be taken away from us. That have been sealed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where Paul says must be the source of our strength. Jesus Christ Himself. The purpose of our strength. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So the purpose is that you will not fall, you will not succumb, you will not capitulate. That's the aim, that's the purpose. Very simple. The time you become a Christian, all the way until the Lord calls you home. This is the time, this is the period, where God says you must not fall, you must stand. You must stand. You must not be afraid. And there will be many people whom you least expect who can creep in and then cause you to fall. And if you do, pray that that will not happen. But if you do, you fall into sin. You ask the Lord to forgive you. You repent of your sin. You come back to the Lord. You come back to the Lord. Don't dwell in your sin and continue to swim in that filth. Repent sincerely from your heart and come back to the Lord and come back to service. If you have problems between husbands and wives, it is a spiritual battle. You remain faithful. You come back to the Lord. Some years ago, Premier Khrushchev was speaking before the Supreme Soviet and was severely critical of the late Premier Stalin. And while he was speaking, someone from the audience sent up a note, unsigned. What were you doing when Stalin committed all these atrocities? Because he was inside. He was part of the leadership. And so Premier Khrushchev was asked this question. What were you doing when Stalin committed all these atrocities? Khrushchev shouted from the podium. All his leaders were there. Who sent up that note? Not a person moved. Not a person stirred. Everybody just kept still. I'll give him 1 minute to stand up. The seconds ticked off. 1 minute went by. Still no one moved. All right? I will tell you what I was doing. I was doing exactly what the writer of this note was doing. Exactly nothing. I was afraid to be counted. He dare not stand up. Because to stand up will require us to be different from everybody else. In your workplace, you are to be the salt and the light. Surrounded by people who love darkness, but you will hate darkness. You will be different. You have to have the courage to stand up and be counted. That's the purpose of this strength that the Lord wants us to have, because you are to shine for Christ. You have to. Because if you and I don't, who will? And if you tell people you are a Christian and you fall into sin, the stumbling effect would be horrendous. The higher you are, the greater the fall, the greater will be the consequence of your fall. The purpose is that you and I will stand. Verse 13 describes it this way. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, done everything, you remain standing. Everybody around you may fall, but you remain standing. You don't need majority to stand on the side of truth. You need conviction, you need the strength of the Lord to stand on the side of truth. If you're waiting for a majority, finish. Finish. Majority will be against the Lord. That's always been true from day one. Majority has always been on the side of Satan and have always been against the Lord. The Lord promised us, I will always have my remnant. He didn't say, I will always have my majority. My remnant, that means we will always be the minority of minorities. A remnant, a small little group. But you must stand. Stand up and be counted. And after all the onslaughts that you have to endure, you remain standing. Come what may. In school, if I have to lose every friend to stand for Christ as a Christian, so be it. So be it. Do you have the courage? In your workplace, if I have to stand on the principle of Christ and never do anything that is illegal, anything that is against the teaching of my Lord and my God according to Holy Scriptures, so be it. But what if I don't get promoted? Never mind. But what if I lose my job? Never mind. Come what may, I will stand. And on the last days, if you are not to bow down to the idols, will you stand like the three friends of Daniel? But you may be thrown into the fiery furnace. So be it, you stand. They were exceptional. They were not burned. But there were many who stood, but they were burned. There were many who stood and thrown into the lion's den, and they were eaten up, not like Daniel. Stand. Because that's the aim and the purpose of our strength. Not to show off. Not to let people think that you are different. We are all weak, in need of Christ to give us the strength. You don't stand because you want to show off, you just want to be different. You stand because it is the right thing to do. It is your deep-hearted conviction. It is the thing that Christ wants me to do. And you stand. You don't be moved. Because discouragement is a very, very potent weapon used by Satan to discourage us. Excuse me. Sometimes we are tired physically. Sometimes we are so exhausted emotionally. You feel like throwing in the towel. You feel like giving up. I can't even tell you how many times I want to give up the ministry. So many times I can't even count them anymore. Just want to throw in the towel because sometimes you're so alone. You feel so lonely. And then you realize that you have been indulging in self-pity. You repent of your sin. You shed a few tears and then you cry to the Lord. And the Lord will pick you up. Then you must move on. Who doesn't want to just lie down and relax under the sun, on the beach, in front of the sea, the waves, somewhere in Hawaii? Sure, we all love that kind of scenario. Who doesn't want to just sit back there and prop your legs up and then just breathe a sigh, Lord, how long more, how long more? Right? Who doesn't like to have that kind of route, take that kind of escape? But God says you can't. Why? Because you are my soldiers.
You have to put on, imperative. Put on the whole armor of God. And this armor of God is listed there for us to tell us that the enemy doesn't sleep. The enemy will continue to fire his fiery darts. He will not stop. He will continue to mount his attack like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And the more you want to serve the Lord, the more he will attack you and undermine you and cause you to capitulate and to fall. And that's why you must stand. Every leader who is standing, you will be prime target. You, your family, your loved ones, all will be targets. So you must pray for the children, pray for your wife. If you are standing for the Lord, you pray for your friends, you pray. You have to. You have to. Because the Bible tells us, the third point, the enemies are not flesh and blood. The enemies against us, they are not flesh and blood. Oh, you can see them. Sure, you can touch them. You know their names. You can recognize them. You can eat with them. But they are not the real enemies. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Amazing, is it? We feel all kinds of feelings. Anger, bitterness, hatred. Against so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. We see them. How come now the Bible says, but they are not my enemies? Strange, isn't it? The enemies that we see with this pair of eyes, they are not the real enemies. They may be the ones who write the articles. They may be the ones who spread all kinds of lies about you. They are the ones who will spew all kinds of adjectives to describe you, to humiliate you. But they are not your real enemies. The Bible says, we wrestle. It's a very strong word. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. But it is the wiles of the devil. So the devil will use people. The devil will use all kinds of people. The devil can even use Christians to discourage us. You think Christians cannot be used by Satan? Ask Peter one day. Ask Peter how he received the phrase when the Lord Jesus Christ rebuked him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Ask Peter to explain to you one day when you meet him in heaven. How did you feel, Peter, when the Lord said that to you? Peter was selfish, self-centered. He wanted the Lord Jesus Christ for himself. And he did not want Jesus Christ to do the Heavenly Father's will. He wanted the Lord Jesus Christ to do Peter's will. And because the Lord Jesus Christ loved Peter so much, it's like your son telling you, "Don't go on the mission trip because I want you, Papa. I want you to stay with me." But you know deep in your heart, and your son knows deep in his heart, that it is the Lord's will for Papa to go for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Don't go, Papa. But your Heavenly Father says, "You go, my son." And so you have this tension, this struggle. Because you love your son, you want to be with your son. But then Heavenly Father says, "You go." To discourage us from doing the will of our Heavenly Father. That's the bottom line. And Satan will be very wily, very cunning, very methodical, very sneaky. He is a master deceiver. He may make us think that we are doing God's will when in fact we are doing his evil will. And you and I may not even realize it. You don't even realize it because you will be so sincere in doing his will, and therefore you become a very convincing false teacher, false leader, without you realizing it. And at the end of your life, you will receive the rudest shock on planet earth. "Get thee behind me. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity." Matthew chapter 7. Because he's a wily, evil one. The source of our strength is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. No one else, nothing else. That must be what we have in our conviction in our hearts. Or else we will capitulate. You may not fall today, you will fall tomorrow. It's only a matter of time.
And the purpose is that you will stand. You will not capitulate. You will stand on the side of the Lord, come what may, no matter what man might do to us. This man, Harold Sherman, wrote a book called How to Turn Failure into Success. In it, he gives a quote of persistence. I'd just like to rephrase it a bit, because he had this list, which I believe is very appropriate for us. Instead of, I will never give up by God's grace. I will never give up so long as I know I am right, according to scriptures. By God's grace, I will believe that all things will work out for me to my good. If I trust in the Lord to the very end. By God's grace, I will be courageous and undismayed in the face of odds. By God's grace, I will not permit anyone to intimidate me or deter me from doing God's will. By God's grace, I will fight to overcome all physical handicaps and setbacks that Satan may throw at me. By God's grace, I will try again and again and yet again to accomplish what God desires in my life. Never give up. By God's grace, I will take new faith and resolution from the knowledge that all successful, faithful men and women had to fight to defeat, had to fight defeat and adversity. By God's grace, I will never surrender to discouragement or despair, no matter what seeming obstacles may confront me. By God's grace, don't give up. Don't give up. We fight an enemy that is real, but cannot be seen with our eyes. Very sneaky, very cunning. And that's why I put on the whole armor of God. Because that's the only way. That's how we can be strong. And the armor of God is given to us. Have your loins girt about with truth. Be a truthful person. Know the truth that is scriptures itself. Know it well. Be a good student of thy word, of God's word. Make sure that you study God's word. Have a proper, consistent method in the study of God's word. Don't just read RPG. That's good, but that is not enough. That is like appetizer. That's all. You need the main course. You need the main meal. You have to have a method where you study God's word. Because you don't stop studying God's word. It is the milk and meat to a hungry soul. The moment you stop, it's like stop eating. You don't stop eating. That's why you must never stop studying God's word. That's the first. Loins girt about with truth. That means every time you must be ever ready with the word of God at your fingertips. Anyone who will ask you for a reason for what you believe in, you give an answer. Know God's word. Give it to them. Anytime. Be ready. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, that means live a righteous life. Every part of your life. No skeleton in your closet. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, ever ready to tell people about Christ, those who are outside in the world who need Christ. Above all, take the shield of faith. Make sure you trust in the Lord. Make sure you obey the word of God so that the fiery darts of the wicked one can be quenched. All of them, without exception. You don't give up. You remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And then you put on the helmet of salvation. Make sure of your own salvation. Don't at the end of your long, long ministry, you find yourself a castaway. The Apostle Paul warns all of us. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You be ever ready to wield it. To use it to fight and to defend. And to keep all the pieces together, you pray. You pray without ceasing. You praying always with all prayers and supplication, because that's where the enemies are. The Bible tells us we fight against principalities as rulers. We fight against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why strength must be in the Lord and the Lord alone. Because that's where the battlefield is, the spiritual realm. So pray. Pray without ceasing, because when children of God do not pray, children of God are basically telling God, I can fight God's battle my way, I don't need your help, Lord. I can fight God's battle with my own carnal strength, I don't need you, Lord. But when God's children pray all the time,
They are basically telling the Heavenly Father, Lord, I need you. I am weak, but thou art strong. I can't even lift up this pen, this paper, whatever it is, without first asking you to enable me. Because that's where the real battle is. You pick up a phone call, you pray. Because you do not know what is on the other side and how the other person will speak with you. You pray for wisdom. Before you write a letter, before you talk with your wife, your husband, before you talk to your children to counsel them, before you go to work, before you go to school, you pray. And as you go, you continue to pray. And when you come back, you continue to pray. And by the time you go to sleep, that's the only time you stop praying. You are unconscious, you are sleeping. You wake up, you pray. All the way right until you close your eyes, you stop praying. Wake up, pray. That's what God wants us to do, because you never know. When you least expect it, that's when you are most unprepared. And that's when you will fall. Don't believe us, King David. When he was a fugitive, he was so close to God. Before he would do anything, he would pray and ask the Lord, is it your will for me to bring my family back? The Lord said yes, then he went. When there was no more war around him, or war was far away, he sent his general, he sent his armies, he was so at peace, and he was so relaxed in his home, pum, then he fell. True. That's when he fell. He was not wrestling against flesh and blood, he was wrestling against principalities in high places. Because Satan was tempting him. Will I succumb? Will I succumb? You must not succumb to temptation. A harsh word, a word spoken out of anger, a word written out of spite, you have fallen. Because the spiritual battle is control your tongue. Control your temper. Even when you are righteous in your anger, you do not fall into sin. Every area of your life, my life as a Christian, must be covered by the strength of the Lord. No other way. None whatsoever. Every Christian ought to be ready to stand up courageously and unashamedly for the Lord. How inconsistent that a person redeemed by the blood of Christ, experiencing saving power, should cower before an unbelieving world. On one occasion, Frederick the Great invited some notable people to his royal table, including his top-ranking generals. One of them, by the name of Hans von Zitten, declined the invitation because he wanted to partake of communion at his church. Sometime later, at another banquet, Frederick and his guests mocked the general for his religious scruples and made jokes about the Lord's Supper. In great peril of his life, the general stood to his feet and said respectfully to the king, "My lord, there is a greater king than you, a king to whom I have sworn allegiance even unto death. I am a Christian man, and I cannot sit quietly as the Lord's name is dishonored and his character belittled." The guests trembled in silence, knowing that General von Zitten might be killed. But to their surprise, Frederick grasped the hand of this courageous man, asked his forgiveness, and requested that he remain. He promised that he would never again allow such a travesty to be made of sacred things. Not every courage ends on this note. In this case, yes, by God's grace and mercy. But not everyone who stood for the Lord Jesus Christ will end up on this note, and many of them have paid for it with their lives. William Tyndale paid for it with his life, or simply translating the Word of God. That was his purpose of his entire life's existence, to give to us the Word of everlasting life in a language that we can read and understand for his people, the English people. And for that, he was captured, killed, burned at the stake. There was no angel who came to relieve him, to untie him, to protect him the way that we read in the book of Daniel or Daniel's three friends. Many, many more went that route. Because that may be our lot. If it is God's will, so be it. Will you be prepared to stand? Sure, there are many, many reasons for us not to stand. Who will look after my young children? You may cry. I want to remain behind and see my children grow up and get married. You may say to the Lord for your capitulation. You may want to enjoy evening years of your life. You work so hard, Lord, maybe this time round, please let me have an easier walk. I have worked so hard for you, Lord, these past 50 years. Please let me just capitulate a little bit. I don't want to die this painful way. I don't want to languish in prison. I can't take it. You may say to the Lord. But the Lord says, I went to the cross for you. I died a most humiliating death for you. I did it all for you. Will you do it for me? Be strong in the Lord. Sure, by all means, defend the perfect word of God. Please do that. But also obey the perfect word of God in your life. No hidden sin, no secret sin. Your relationship between husband and wife, between parent and child, all these must come into the same purview of being strong in the Lord. Your service for the Lord. Don't be easily discouraged. Discouragement will come. But you must draw strength from the Lord by praying to Him and overcome them. Don't be afraid. What could man do to us? No one could say that George Smith didn't have courage. He was a daring jet test pilot in the 1950s. Back when the sound barrier was first being broken, he could face anything until he had to bail out of a jet going at 805 miles per hour. Though he survived, he was afraid of ever flying again. Then during his hospital stay, a nurse gave him an antidote to fear. He took her words to heart. Courage, she said, is knowing the worst and discovering that in God's world, the very worst can't really hurt us. Is that not true? What can it do to us? Think very carefully. Take away my freedom? Take away my life? If they take away my freedom, I'm always free because my freedom is in Christ. Take away my life, absent from the body, present with the Lord. They can never take away your relationship with God Himself because of Christ Jesus. And that is all that matters for all eternity, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. For we live in a world that is full of sin and wickedness and temptations, where the prince of this world will love to see us fall. Don't let that happen. Whatever problems you have at home, by the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, you repent of them. Make up your relationship between husband and wife, parent and children. Let it be washed by the blood of the Lord. And come together and pray. And come together and sing hymns and mutually encourage one another in the Lord. And as a church family, you keep close to one another by praying for one another, by knowing each other's needs, and never betraying each other's trust. And even if you have felt betrayed, you commit it to the Lord, and then you move on. You forgive, and then you move on. Move on in your walk. Don't move on and leave the church. Don't run away. Don't run away from problems, because if you run away from problems, you think you go to another church, there will not be the same people. There will be. Even worse, perhaps. Because the problem is not the people around you, it's inside you, because that's where the struggle is. Not against flesh and blood. Principalities, the problem is inside. You fix it by committing it to the Lord. By prayer, by the study of God's Word, by becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ, and lean on Christ. Be strong in Him. And you will be a victorious Christian. And you will hear from Him at the end of your life when you close your eyes for the last time. Welcome home, my good and faithful servant. Remember, it is nothing to do with physical strength. It's everything to do with spiritual strength. And that's why the strongest Christian in our midst is none other than our dearly beloved principal and pastor. He continued to stand, come what may. It's never meant to be easy, dear friends. It is only difficult when you walk against God's will, when you are disobedient, it will be very, very hard. But when you're obedient, it can be very easy, very, very easy indeed, because Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's when we want to do our own thing, rebel against God, and that's why it's so crumbling, it's so heavy, it's so onerous. But when you are walking with the Lord and you know you are strong in the Lord, you are light on your feet. You are happy. You are elated and you are rejoicing all the time. There's always this happiness inside you that nothing, no one can take away from you, because it is with the Lord, as in the Lord. And you will be the most blessed of all people on planet Earth to know that you are right with God. That if you were to die right now, or the Lord were to come right now, you are ready to meet Him. No hidden secrets, no skeleton, everything acceptable before the Lord. What a wonderful, wonderful experience, isn't it? And it can be for every one of us, no exception, if you are a child of God, if you are a Christian. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, for this life. But above all, Father, we thank Thee for the eternal life that You have given to us in Christ Jesus. For in Him and through Him, O Lord, He is the anchor of our soul. And He is our strength and our courage in a world that is full of sin and wickedness and evil people, where Satan is the prince. O Lord, may Thou protect us and keep us strong in the Lord Jesus Christ in every area of our lives, at home, in church, in school, and in our workplace. May we not bring shame to Thy holy name, but we may be strong in the Lord to live for Him, to testify for Him, that even if we have to do so at the cost of our lives, may we not be found wanting, but be found faithful until the day when we meet the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Strengthen us and defend Thy people, O Lord, against the many attacks of the evil one, that this church will truly rise to the occasion and be filled with men and women after Thy own heart, who will be counted for the Lord Jesus Christ on the day of battle and on the day of judgment. We will all stand together in Thy holy presence and hear from Thee, O Lord, Thou good and faithful servants, welcome home and well done. O Lord, this is our heart's cry and our heart's desire. Hear us for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we give thanks and pray. Amen.